Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this morning that I've selected is from John chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. It is our gospel reading for today. And so I would invite you to please rise as I read it. There it is written. Jesus answered, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. We ask that by them you would set us apart from this anti-Christian world, that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, it seems to me that apparently we can never get enough of cat videos. The internet seems to be full of them. We can't get enough videos of little children getting their first puppy, or a son on leave from deployment sneaking up behind his mom to surprise her. So warm, so fuzzy, the feelings. When mom sees her firstborn for the first time, how her heart swells. Can she ever love enough? But pretty soon, you know as well as I do that tending the puppy ends up being hard work. The cat will try to murder you in your sleep, probably. John has to head back to Afghanistan. Feelings are dashed with a dose of reality. A few weeks in, and the diapers begin to smell, and then the teething, and then pretty soon, before you know it, the whining and wayward teenage years come along. Sometimes it's pretty hard to love enough. But Jesus loved us. He loved us when he came down from heaven to be that tiny little speck in the Virgin Mary's womb. He loved us through all the dust and dirt of his childhood, through the good times and the bad, when he was ministering to people here on earth. He loved us in Gethsemane when they came to arrest him. He loved us before the high priest. He loved us even to the point of dying for us on the cross. Do we love him enough enough to give our whole lives as living sacrifices to Him. Well, the evidence is before us. What have we done for Him and for His work? Have we loved enough? Could I do more? What holds us back from loving others, doing as He commands, serving, sharing the gospel with others, returning our first fruits to Him, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? When Jesus spoke the words of our text, the disciples were all wrapped up in their own thoughts, and they were even oblivious to the fact that Jesus was headed to the cross. They were unprepared to see Him die for them. They were unprepared for the guilt that they would feel after they realized that He had gone to that cross for them, out of love for them. They were unprepared. Even more so when they saw Him risen from the dead. Jesus spoke these words to give His disciples reassurance in advance. Words that they and we can look to and look back on to remember what God has done for us, that He chose us, that He appointed us to produce fruit, so that we would remember that we may ask Him for anything. Jesus knew that there would be days when we're down on ourselves, when we've glimpsed just what a mess we've made of our lives, when we see the corruption in the world around us. We always want to be looking for potential, the potential that we have to change things, to make the world a better place. But when our meager love falters, then we see for at least a little while where we really are when we rely on ourselves and on our own strength. It's for this very reason that Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Our Lord did not make a mistake when He chose you. Our Lord knew that if it had been up to us, the last choice we'd ever want to make is to stand before Him, the righteous God, to stand before Him with all our failures and our sins and our corrupt hearts on display. So Jesus came to us and chose us because of His gracious heart, because of His desire to save us, because of His will to reconcile and mend the terrible separation that sin has put between us and Him. And this isn't a new teaching either. God has never changed His mind about wanting to show us His love. When Adam and Eve first sinned, all those thousands of years ago, instead of burning them to the ground where they stood, God came to them and He sought them out where they were hiding in the bushes. And He did not condemn them, but instead He called out to them, "Where are you?" Of course, God knew full well where they were. But He was offering them the opportunity to turn from their sin and repent. And right then and there, God began preparing to send His only begotten Son into the world to save them, to save us, their descendants. Yes, there are days for us when we're quite content to try to hide ourselves away from God and not listen to His word, not listen to our own consciences. And yet he calls to us. He chose us to hear his law and repent. He chose us to hear the good news, the gracious word of forgiveness in Christ. He chose us to be saved. And you've heard his call, whether it was through holy baptism, where God came to you and called you through water and the word, or whether it was because a friend or someone you know came to you with that word of God and spoke it to you faithfully. God chose you. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Jesus called you out of pure love. But he also called you for a purpose. Think of the richness of these words of the Lord. We who are not worthy, we who are sinners, we who have failed him time and again, we who are tossed about in our faith by every wind of our idolatrous culture and the lies of the deceiver, so that sometimes we have trouble even knowing what the truth is. God chose us to hear and to bear fruit. And not just fruit that's there 1 minute and gone the next, but fruit that abides. St. Paul says in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. God appointed us chiefly to love as he has loved us. And clearly that's not something that we're able to do apart from his love. Our flimsy love would immediately collapse in on itself. But God has not left us alone. He's given us his word and he sent his Spirit into our hearts to breathe life into us by that word. And that's the most important of many ways that God expresses his love toward us. And it is the most important way that we should reflect that love now that we live by faith and not by sight. It's so important because this is the fruit that abides. You can do all kinds of kindnesses to others out of faithful love. And it's a blessing to them, but many things quickly pass out of mind as time passes by. But the fruit which abides endures in others. When we share the good news that Jesus Christ is our Savior, the Son of God, the power of the Spirit working through those words changes hearts. And it does something eternal. Unless that person rejects that faith, that person will live forever serving the Lord. That's the fruit that truly abides. So do you see what God has done with you and with me? He's made us friends and co-workers in this amazing enterprise of the gospel. The work that we're engaged in here at Our Savior and at Christian churches the world over, well, it's work that he's given us to accomplish. The gentle but powerful work of the Spirit has brought our aims into alignment with his. Christians, we're doing the Lord's work. And just like any employee of a worthy company, if we ask the Lord for something that's needed to do the work of his kingdom, he promises to answer those prayers and give us what we actually need to get the job done, to share the gospel with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. He hasn't ignored us ever. Has he not answered the prayers of previous generations by giving us this building? By the work and the offerings of many hands that built it, paid for it? Has he not brought many pastors here and many vicars and teachers to share the word of God? Has he not made our voices go out each Sunday to so many places across the world? So what should we ask him to do with us now? How should we view the opportunities that lie before us? He equips us for every good deed. And in these words, he equips us with a new sense of the importance of our work. And he reassures us that he stands with us as we bring the gospel forth. Not only that, these things I command you so that you will love one another, Jesus said. Jesus has given us these things to do so that we love one another, so that we fulfill the whole law, so that we are doing those things which God wants us to do. There are many times, of course, when we fail. But do you desire to change that? And repent. And ask the Lord for what you need, and he will give it to you. Do you think he would refuse? When laziness and depression have you down, slowing everything, making everything hard, ask for power to do the work with joy. Again, do you think he would refuse you? Of course not. When you've fallen to sin and ask forgiveness in Jesus' name, do you think he would refuse you? Again, of course not. He's already washed you clean in baptism. He's already promised that that cleansing flood would wash over you all your life and keep and wash your sins away. He's even given this blessed sacrament, his body and blood, as the sure seal of his forgiveness upon you. This morning, give thanks to the Lord that all of this is more than just warm, fuzzy feelings that slip away so quickly, like kitten purrs and surprise reunions. Give thanks that he chose you. Give thanks that he's appointed you to produce fruit, especially the fruit that abides. And love. Love one another. And he will see to it that you receive what you truly need to succeed so that his kingdom grows. May God grant this to all of us in Christ's holy name. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.